The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk bizradio.co.uk. Sorry, we're just sorting out the coffee and stuff.
Well, no, it's a good job that Laura's listening, because I thought you'd turn the mics off, and I said I'm going to the toilet, and we were still on air.
I thought that was just product placement.
Yeah, it was really. I know she's really into, like me, cleaning with eucalyptus as well.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a big fan of eucalyptus.
Are you?
I am. Yes, round the rim.
Wow.
Eucalyptus, does it come with a koala bear? Or?
Yeah, I was going to say, they've done a study, haven't they? Worked out why they...
This is Tim.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
that's okay. You go for it. I'm far more interested in what study is.
Okay, right, so the koalas all suffer from chlamydia. And that's one of their problems.
They?
Yeah, and they're an endangered species because
isn't
they're
that a sexually transmitted disease?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
That we have.
Oh, they're little devils. Those koalas.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Promiscuous koalas.
Well, one of the guys from One Direction. There was an urban myth went around that he caught chlamydia from a koala. Anyway, that's not true. It's not true.
No. If you're listening off comment, he didn't mean that at all.
I didn't mean that. It's just that, you know. Anyway, koalas can genetically process eucalyptus, which is a very difficult thing to do, and part of that processing ability also sort of somehow means they're susceptible to chlamydia. And now they've just mapped their genome, and they're about to develop therapies to solve, you know.
Really?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So they're going to get
a lot of
sexual education for koalas. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Well, my cousin turned me on, my Australian cousin turned me on to eucalyptus oil, and he said, oh, we use it for everything, Jules.
Really?
And he said, we use it for the...
And he moved there from New Zealand, or?
I was going to say, he's South African, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he said, we clean the toilet with it, and when we put it in our laundry...
Stroke, Jules, we wipe the bar with eucalyptus.
Wipe the bar with eucalyptus?
But it is, because people come to my house and they go, oh, what's that lovely smell? I go, it's my loo cleaner. Because you pop it on the old bog brush and then it's just amazing.
Well, there you go.
Turn on.
Wow, that's something for Escape to the Chateau DIY next series.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole programme's got a flavour of the toilet, hasn't it?
Well, yes.
It just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
It's a very bog-orientated show, this, really, isn't it?
We need to flush it out, really, don't we?
Okay. We've got a WhatsApp group.
This
in
is Simon.
This is... just a very relevant story, and my young apprentice actually put up a post today. I should actually mention that my senior op is German and he's vegan, and in this toilet was a leaf, and he put the tag on it, the vegan left a floater.
Oh, oh dear, this show has just hit rock bottom, I think. I don't know. Well, we've got some more guests to talk to. We're going to talk to in a minute. We've still got loads of tweets coming in, and we've got loads of emails to read. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens, and she says, afternoon, Paul and Jules. I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for all the community carers working hard in the heat. Please stay hydrated and remember to carry a bottle of water with you and enjoy the summer. That's from Kim Stevens, and you can follow Kim on the Twitter, Care in Kent is her Twitter handle.
I've just seen Tented and Toilets. Laura has just put on this is the adaptation for Vanilla Web. Okay now, she says, and she's given you the basin with space for your kebab.
Oh, thank you, Laura. She's so good to me.
So it's rather amusing. I saw Twitter's very, very busy, but I saw one from Terry Botfield. Have you got that one?
I haven't seen it. Have you got it? I've got an email to read out about his Marsh networking anyway.
That will do.
Oh, I've just found a picture of the kebab on the toilet. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a bit small actually, because your kebab would be much bigger.
My kebab is the extra super size. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. With extra grease.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Laura. I appreciate that. Good. Have you got an email to read?
Yes, I have.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, you put your feet out. I'll just do everything. So there's a charity dinner, listener, and this is from Terry Botfield. How bizarre.
Oh, there you go.
How bizarre. We are holding a charity dinner, says Terry, to raise funds for CARM in capitals, What does CARM stand for?
I can't remember.
You know everything.
I can't remember.
That's the first question in 10 years mm-hmm. I've ever asked you don't know the answer mm-hmm. to.
But I haven't read the email. That's or the tweet or whatever it is. So that kind of caught me on the hop a little bit.
It looks like CARM, C-A-R-M, and it's on Friday the 14th of September. Yeah. It's held at the fabulous Ship Inn in Dymchurch. And do you know there's music from the Two of Harps and magic from Stuart Weller?
The Two of Harps are brilliant. They're two harpists that are really fabulous. And Stu Weller does close-up magic. I know the answer to those two. Yeah.
And there's a three-course meal, of course. If you'd like to attend or if you would like to donate an auction or raffle prize, you can email the lovely Terry at terry@botfield.net. Charity dinner, and it's on the Friday 14th of September.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare. They're the telecom system providers over there on the Medway City Estate. That was good. I was waiting for you to sneeze, and you were holding your nose.
Darling, I'm
Your socks expanded.
One doesn't sneeze live on air.
No, obviously.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really good. I was waiting for you to sneeze. She pinched her nose and nothing happened. So I imagine her tights are blown right up now. Telcare tweeted us. And they're the lovely folks over there on the Medway City Estate, and they're telecom systems providers, and they say, it's Business Bunker Day, and we're having great fun listening to the Business Bunker Show. So thank you very much for tweeting that. There's also, talking about the Medway towns, there's Living with GDPR. For goodness sake.
Oh, God. How many emails did you get on
that? Oh, no. It's a shame. Anyway, don't even get me started on that. Living with GDPR.
And
not one of them was relevant to GDPR. That's the scary thing about all of this is nobody understood GDPR at all. They all sent out all these things about emails, and GDPR has nothing whatsoever to do with emails. It's about what you do with people's personal data. Anyway, Kent Space, which is where we are at the studio here in Ashford, they have a similar place in Chatham, and they've got an after-hours networking presentation on the 19th of July at 5:30 at Kent Space in Chatham, and the presentation is on living with GDPR. So if you want to find out about it, follow them on the Twitter at Kent Space. Yeah.
Okay. I have one last email, which is, Business Kent, keep up to date with the latest business news in Kent as it happens. Go to businesskent.co.uk. And you can also, they say, add your business events to their calendar of Kent business events, and we will promote it absolutely free. Do you know who runs Kent business events? Not you, is it?
Kent business events.
Businesskent.co.uk. We should know them. We'll find out. So they also say, read the latest business blogs, keeping you up to date with the latest thinking at businesskent.co.uk. What is going on in the studio? Look, I hold my sneeze off. At least
and then
do
I,
is
and then I knock my microphone over. Yeah, I know.
Car crash radio. So businesskent.co.uk, they say they're circulated to over 20,000 businesses every Friday. And you can log in anytime, or you can email them info@bestbusinessevents.co.uk, Paul Andrews.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Arcasia. That's the lovely Francois Ranier.
We love him.
Francois is telling us about the best social media stories and campaigns from June. And he's given us a link, but Twitter have kindly shortened it, so I can't read it. So the easiest way of finding out what Francois is up to is to follow him on the Twitter, Arcasia. A-C-A-C-I-A, ideas, all one word, is his Twitter handle. And for those of you that don't know Francois, he's based here in Ashford. Francois does a lot of cross-border work, encouraging businesses in Kent and North France to collaborate and work together.
Be good for you again.
Yeah.
Another link.
Yep. So he's organised quite a few things just recently about trying to encourage Kent-based businesses to go and do work in France and vice versa. Yeah, exactly. It's 24 miles.
It took me yesterday to get to. It took us how long? It was 1 hour and 40 minutes to get from 100 kilometres south of Calais into Kent.
It took me longer to go to Cornwall.
Yeah.
I was eight hours because of the M25.
No, if you time the tunnel at the right time, then you're there. And we know people in the next village who work in London.
Yeah.
They commute to London.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of people in Ashford, yeah, actually, that commute from northern France to work here. Yes. A lot. Yeah.
I'm hooking you up now with Francoise.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
Francoise.
Yeah.
Francoise.
I mean, we quite often, Amanda and I quite often go to Bruges, and it's an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it? But you should, again, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Ghent, I mean, Bruges is lovely, but it's like chocolate boxy. But Ghent is wow. You
know? Yeah, there's no chocolate in Bruges at all. No. Couldn't find a chocolate shop anywhere.
You lied. I've been to Ghent twice.
Yeah.
You like it?
I always got lost.
Yeah.
But the great thing about it is it's a student town, and they've got houses which are 1,000 years old and people still live in them. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Lovely. Absolutely. I love Ghent.
Ghent's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry.
What have you got now, Jules?
I've read all mine. Pass me some over.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Shall we do something else? Well, I've got loads to do, but we can wait for those.
Knock our mic over, sneeze?
We've done all that. We've done all the silly stuff.
Yeah.
And I now think it's time to do something sensible.
Should we talk
to
our
guests? Do you think it'd be time to talk to our guests?
It'd be a first, wouldn't it?
It would, really, wouldn't it? Shall we do that?
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce them, or shall I?
Okay, well, on the show we have Tim and Marguerite Alexander from Chateau de Lys.
Chateau de Lys.
And they're coming on the show. They've been on the Scoff and Quaff chatting about food and foraging and fine dining and weddings. And we want to talk to them about their new concept of selling off a little bit of their chateau.
Yeah.
And they're famous. Right, yeah. They're on Channel 4.
Well, let's start. We've got a bit of time, so let's start the story somewhere useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can build from there.
Yeah.
Because Tim and Margaret, a lot of you out there may know because you saw them on TV on Channel 4's
Escape to the Chateau DIY.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the longest title in history, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they didn't know what the title was going to be until the last minute.
I want to start off by asking you how you got involved with that. Was that something you put yourself up for, or did they find you? How did it work?
No, well, it's quite an interesting story, because a lot of people asked us when we bought the chateau, would you like to be on a TV program? And we were like, no, not really. But about 15 months ago, we were visiting relatives in Benfleet. We had...
In Essex.
Yep.
In Essex,
as
yes.
you do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we were there on a Saturday evening, they said, well, you know, we want you to see this TV program. It's about an English couple that have bought a chateau in France, and they so remind us of you guys. So we watched it, and it was the first episode of Escape to the Chateau with Dick and Angel Strawbridge. And on the way back the next day, we were just talking about it the whole time, because there were so many things that we recognized, and we were wondering how they were getting on and everything. And as I got home that evening, I checked all my emails, and there was an email from a production company saying, we are the production company from Escape to the Chateau, and we're doing a spin-off series. Would you like to be involved?
Wow. So how did they hear about you? Do you know?
Because
they just sent out a blanket email.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, I go to a website called workaway.com to find volunteers to help us.
Okay.
And so they found us there.
Right, okay.
So they were just looking for, you know, French chateaus with British owners. Yeah. So before that, 24 hours before that, we had never heard of the program. But because it was such a positive approach, we said, yeah, why not?
Yeah, it was a nice thing.
So
Yeah, absolutely. But the other weird thing was that Angel lived in Benfleet, where we were actually watching the show, and her father had the restaurant down the road.
Right.
And when the show starts, it starts with them being in Southend, you know, at the end of the pier, where they were living while they were looking for the chateau.
Yeah, Dick and Angel.
So, yeah, it was very strange. And that's
where Tim comes from.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
These coincidences are really funny how they all tie things together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's serendipity doo-dah-day.
Exactly, exactly.
Then we had a Skype meeting with the production company, and I think three days later we were filming, so it went really, really fast.
If I'm right, Marguerite, the production company is Sparks Media?
Yeah, Spark Media, yes.
So you had a Skype meeting?
Yes.
And what did they tell you?
Well, they just told us that they were going to do 20 episodes, probably with 20 chateaus.
Is there that many chateaus in France, is it?
There's 100,000 English weddings in chateaus in France each year.
God.
100,000?
Yeah, I don't know how many chateaus.
That's a statistic that someone threw at me once. Apparently that's a true story.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things we're trying to do, is access that market. But there are loads of English people crazy enough to buy chateaus in France. It's, and it's a nutcase thing to do.
Well, you two did. You two did. You became nutcases.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts. You can't look at it too closely.
It's funny. It's funny, isn't it? It's because for English people, the French property market leaves us a bit dumbfounded.
Yes.
Because we're so used to the English property market where, you know, a dog kennel costs you a lifetime of work.
Yes, absolutely.
And you never end up owning it anyway.
Okay. Right. One thing you have to understand, when you die, right, you have kids, yeah?
Yeah.
So what you do is you pick your favourite and the other one becomes an artist.
Yeah.
Okay? So your favourite, you know, he inherits everything, yes? Whatever you've got, you know, your garden with your two swimming pools and blah, 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 and your newts. The other one gets the newts. That's
I've left them specifically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So in France, you can't do that. Yeah. So you have to leave it to all, you know, 15 kids.
Yeah.
They're going to squabble and fight and not pay the taxes. Things are going to fall into ruin and become very cheap. Mm. And that's part of the story to all this. So it's
But also they just haven't had this, you know, property craze that other countries like the UK and Holland have had, where the property prices just go up.
Well, they don't have a free market. France is not it claims to be socialist, but it isn't. It's a totally different economy to the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
You know, not in a bad or a good way, it's just different.
Different,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so you have to adjust to that.
And of course, France is like five times the size of the UK with the same population as the UK.
Yeah. And that's lovely. That's
so much space. Personal space.
Yeah.
So you guys took on this chateau, you bought a chateau. Did you have any hospitality experience at all?
None.
Well, a bit, yeah.
We could hospitalise people.
You were a teacher.
Yes, I was a teacher, but before I was a teacher, when I was a student, I worked behind a bar
But that's hardly up to running a huge chateau.
Totally different, but we were just, you know, stupid and optimistic, and we just thought, why not? We can do this.
Yeah, and the first 10 months everybody died, but that was okay.
But you used to get that years ago in the UK, didn't you, when everybody wanted to open a pub without any experience of ever running a pub. Because they all heard it was a good way of making money. I mean, people won't relate to this anymore, but a long time ago it was, and people would open pubs. And I used to live in a small village, and a retired couple opened a pub next door to us, and they were absolutely lovely couple, but they didn't have a clue how to do it, and it was just a disaster. But the chateau that you acquired, what kind of state was it in when you acquired it? Did it need a lot of work doing on it?
Well, how can I answer this? It was definitely very, very run down. It was functioning as a business, but the couple who had it before us lost control of it, basically. So,
how did they lose control?
Well, they were getting divorced, if I'm really honest. I mean, they won't be listening to this.
Hazard of running a chateau, perhaps.
Yes, well, there is. You have to.
Oh, she's nasty, isn't she? Yeah.
She's
right. But she's absolutely right. You've got, if you're going to do it, you've got to do the work. We do. I mean, the things that's slightly different about us to the other chateau owners on the series is that we actually are genuinely doing everything with two people and the occasional work wets at different times of the year. But it's when we got it, it was run down. We had to do a lot of renovation. And we went on TripAdvisor, which someone said, hey, you know, this is really important to you. So we sort of had a look, and there was 229 hotels in Picardy on TripAdvisor, and we were number 210.
Yeah, with the previous owners.
Yeah, with the previous owners, and we took that up to number one for 8 months.
Wow.
So we were number one on TripAdvisor for
within
8 months.
Within
the first year, and then we kept it there for 8 months, and then the French changed their municipal boundaries. And the people in the Philippines who run TripAdvisor, they don't understand that northern France is, you know, not, you know, Lille and Paris is quite a big difference, so that's affected us a bit.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, you know, but the...
Well, the state it was in, it was already running the same way as we are running it, as a bed and breakfast, self-catering accommodation, and as a group accommodation. So we took over that whole concept. Mm. But the actual building, I think the structure is good, but the decor was really not us.
It's an Australian nightmare. You know.
Yeah, the colours were really, really bold, and it didn't have one theme or one feeling to it. It's all very, very different. And in the other program, Skofkov, we were talking about, you know...
You mean the Superior Show?
That one.
With the lovely hostess.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, having carpets in the bathrooms and stuff. That was it. Yeah. Our place, it was absolutely disgusting.
So I'm thinking weevils, those silverfish, and, you know, which is what you get. I just want to say a quick hello to Samson Gass, who's watching you live now. Hello, Samson Gass. He's an engineer, heating engineer, if ever you need any boilers put in and things.
Well, the heating is a real problem.
Chateaus and heating.
And it's heating fuel, which has just gone up because, someone's made a war with Iran. So anyway, and Venezuela's not doing very well. So
you'll have to speak to my new husband about that.
Yes.
Emerging markets.
There you go. Yes, exactly.
Iran, yeah. And that's all his
path. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just on that. Did you see that Trump had a meeting with the King of Saudi Arabia and asked him to
that's
up
right.
his output of oil because
2 million
barrels a day extra because they needed the oil.
That's right. Yeah. Apparently he's not going to do that. Apparently, that's what I heard afterwards. But
So Samsung Gas, Danny Tickner is offering to come and check your boilers out sometime. I think he'll be interested in the fine dining in September.
He might be. Yes, that's true.
Very welcome.
Yeah, but it's a good place at the moment. I mean, we like it. We're happy with it. You know.
So for listeners that are perhaps thinking about investing in a holiday, tell us about that. Because this is exciting.
First, if you want to go on holiday, you can come and see us as bed and breakfast. If you want to come as a group, we do group accommodation, all the rest of it. But
how many can you accommodate?
70.
70.
Yes. Oh, wow. If everyone speaks vertically in a tree, then it's about 80. We can, shoehorn them in. But we've had a 76, but it's too crowded. But for weddings and blah, blah, blah. But we have developed two jeets in our old smithy, which is about from 1850. And we built it of reclaimed wood from Holland and various places. So it's all, I think it's gorgeous.
We
like it. Anyway, it's got, blah, blah, blah. And the idea is that we're sort of doing this French fractional ownership construction. So it's a co-ownership thing where people put down 25,000 euros.
Yeah.
And they get it for 25 years. They get 5 weeks of the year. On top of that, they pay 1,000 euros a year expenses, which covers all their stuff apart from utilities. Mm. And there's a little sink fund for breakages and stuff. It's not a lot. So all that
breakages,
goes together.
A couple of bottles of champagne.
Exactly. Yeah, but it makes it easy. You don't have to think about all that. Because the French system is impenetrable when you first come to it. So, we take care of all that. There's no sort of all the taxes foncières, d'habitation, all that sort of stuff. That's all solved for you. It's only 100 kilometres south of Calais, and you get 5 weeks of the year. And you can even raise a mortgage on it. That's one of the big differences between our system and a thing like a timeshare or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it works out. The first people is 25,000. That's the first eight. The second 12 are going to be 35,000. The jeets sleep 6 to 8 people. And when you're not using it, you can, let your friends use it and all the rest of it. Do it how you want to do it. There's a contract to protect both of us. Let's make sure you don't paint it orange and start, decorating with flowers or whatever. And on the same time, we have to make sure we clean it and the rest of it and blah, blah, blah. And it's 400 euros a week or 480 if you're a bit later. And to be honest, as an investment, it's possible. And as a holiday for a family, it's brilliant, to be honest.
Yeah. It really is.
And for that amount, as Tim said, we do all the maintenance, but also after every week's stay, it gets cleaned and the beds are being made again. So people people just arrive and have a good week and they don't have to worry about it.
I mean, most people get 5 weeks to your holiday anyway, so you haven't got that much time to go on holiday anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing we haven't mentioned yet is that the area where we live is the Baie de Somme, which is by the coast. And as Tim said, it's an hour from Calais, exactly. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's unspoiled and undiscovered and totally unappreciated still by people. And people don't know it. They rush past it to get to other places. But it's wonderful. You've got sandy beaches. You've got pebble beaches. You've got really, really the highest cliffs.
The highest cliffs in France.
You have all forests, the forest of Crécy, the forest of Eau, and it's all within 10, 15 minutes drive from the chateau. Amazing.
I was going to say, you've got all the historical stuff there as well. Yeah.
Julius Caesar landed down at Port Lynn, which is quite close to here.
I have to interject to say that the guy stayed at Port Lynn last night.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
We didn't stay there. We visited. It's brilliant. Dragonflies. Permian period, you see. Post-Permian extinction, first dragonflies.
Yeah. And the whole area is really, really quiet, although it's up and coming as a tourist destination.
Sure.
It's still very quiet. In a half an hour radius from us, there's only one traffic light because you don't need it. You don't have parking problems. You don't have busy roads.
And the French ignore that, presumably.
Yes. Yes, I can see you've been there, sir.
Yeah.
And, of course, the food, because we're talking about with the fine dining in September, which will be filmed by Channel 4, Paul. So.
Yep.
When we go, we'll be foraging for samphire and things like that.
And cockles,
samphire, lobster. We're going to do, I think, for the thing, we're doing a lobster thermidor, which I can't wait because I love lobster thermidor. It's one of my favourite things.
It's one of my favourites.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. If you get the tarragon and the mustard and the white wine right, it's wow. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's got me going.
I'm quite hungry, actually. Yeah.
Yep.
So how do you fund all this? Because, you know, this is a huge project.
Right, well...
And I know you have volunteers, so you don't employ staff.
No.
No.
At all.
No.
Well, we just about break even, and all the money that we make from doing what we do, we reinvest into the place to make it better to be in.
We've had
a mortgage and all the rest of it, so...
So you can get a mortgage on a chateau?
Yeah, if you have your own money as well. We had a nice house in Holland that we sold.
We built two houses in Holland, and every time we sold them, we sort of, you know, made profit.
Yeah, so if you have a bit of money, then you can get a mortgage if you have a good business plan as well, of course.
Cool. So we've got September the 13th-ish for
the 13th.
Yeah. For the fine dining.
Yeah.
We've got your not timeshare offering.
Co-ownership is a good word for it.
And I was going to just make a reference to that, because it is a great way to own a holiday home, because having owned one myself, a holiday home, what so many people don't realise, they go somewhere, they fall in love with a place, and they go, we must buy somewhere here. You have to maintain it when you're not there.
And that's a
huge overhead.
It is.
And then people go, yeah, and I'm going to pay for it all by renting it out. And, of course, that's an even bigger overhead.
Absolutely.
And people just get fooled by that every time.
Yeah.
So with you guys looking after it and somebody just picking when they want to go there, it's the best of all worlds, really, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I know you sold it very well. Thank you for that. But it is what you say is true. Mm. And all the little, you know, the details of it, you can check it out. But the big thing about it for me, with, you know, I would say this, is the fact that we're running it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can trust me. I'm from Essex.
Yeah. But people don't think of this.
No.
I said, someone
on site all the time is great, isn't it?
But I was saying, I owned a home in Cornwall,
in Rock,
for years and years and years. And for one reason or another, we were forced to rent it out. Doesn't matter why, but we were. We forced to rent it out, which wasn't something I wanted to do, but we did. Every time I went on holiday there, I get there and I go, there's no cups left, there's no glasses left, they've all been broken, the bedclothes haven't been washed, there's no towels, there's nothing. And you'd end up going shopping for basics. Yes.
And you have to do all the maintenance. Because that's what people have. Yeah. They've got this, you know, 4 weeks a year that they can go to their holiday home, because who has, you know, a few months holiday? No one does.
Mm.
And then you turn up and the only thing you do is just work on your holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
I've got a house in Moira, and we hadn't been for 2 years because we've been working in Africa. And we went, and all my clothes were covered in mould. They had to be completely, because the humidity there.
I wonder what that design was. But
it's
mould.
Yeah.
I spent 2.5 weeks washing every day.
Wow.
Just to, you know, curtains, everything.
Yeah.
And I've got a cleaner who goes in, but she doesn't go in all the time.
And a koala bear was infected as well, wasn't it?
Had chlamydia.
We've established it.
Now I'm interested to know, guys, what happens at the end of the 25 years?
It comes back to us.
Yes.
Okay.
It comes back to us. There's no, you know, you can forget about it. If you want to sell it on to someone else within the lease, you can do that. So if you get fed up with it.
If you liked me, could I buy another 25 years? If I was
25? We don't know. It's 25 years away. I doubt I'm going to last.
I'm sure we will.
You will. You know, I mean, yeah.
Well, with all
I think my great will. She's
going to live forever.
Yeah.
She's decided.
Simon's doing a simple life. I mean, that's probably the way forward, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can see simple life over Simon. And doing something at your place as well.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, but they did say there was an organisation looking to improve Kent French business
relations.
Yeah,
Acacia. Not while the World Cup's on, though, I'll tell you.
This could get nasty.
It could get nasty, I think.
But
the
food, the gastronomy, as you would say, down there is just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of seafood, of course, because we're very near the coast. Yeah. Wines are fantastic.
So we can come down and do wine tasting?
Yes.
Absolutely,
we've got all of that covered. There's loads of wonderful cheeses, of course. So it's, you know, it's simple food, but it's very, very good.
Yeah. French do it well. They don't have a lot of creativity or flair, if I'm really honest with them, unless they're top chefs, you know. Sort of, but what they do is incredibly good. For example, the lamb where we come from is grazed on the marshlands, and it's called pré-salé, which means pre-salted. So that, and they slaughter it, and it's more tender, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Things like that. Lobsters, loads of them, you know.
Fantastic.
I'm just getting my 25,000 euros out.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Yeah. They've sold me.
Good.
Well, people can buy it with more than one person, you know, if you want to split the weeks up.
Anyway,
but
And it's, yeah, it's the jeets are large enough to accommodate two families easily.
Right.
Like, we've got one of the two jeets has got two bathrooms and two double rooms and then a kid's room. So you could easily buy it with two families and share it even more. So co-ownership becomes, you know, more co-ownership.
Absolutely. Good stuff. So for you guys, obviously you've got this as a business and you've got the main chateau as a business, as a bed and breakfast business. Have you any other plans? Are you going to do any other crazy stuff?
Maybe. Well, there's, I mean, one of the problems we have is because we do it with two of us, we don't have time to really sort of focus on any possible events. So there's guys saying, let's do a vintage car thing or let's do a geek, you know. I've done a few concerts. And we had an art exhibition, which was completely stunning.
Right.
There's a guy called Malcolm Allen from Folkestone on the high street.
Really?
Yeah.
He's brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Folkestone. Yeah.
And he used to know Boy George as well, apparently, a long time ago. But anyway, he's... whatever. But
at
he's,
the moment...
He's, works here, does he not?
Yeah, there you go.
He doesn't really work here. He presents.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. He might take umbrage that he works here.
No, I can live with that.
He doesn't clean the toilets, really, does he?
No, I've noticed that.
He never makes a cup of tea.
He's never made me tea.
Never made me a cup of tea. No. So, Marguerite, you were saying something.
Well, we host a lot of groups, and a lot of the groups are weddings. And we have a large, like, party hall, and we also have a very, very large veranda. So we have two... reception rooms already, but because we have large grounds as well, we thought it would be nice to have an outdoor party area.
Yeah.
So at this moment, we're actually in between of everything else of running a chateau. We spend all our free time doing up an old shed.
It's a donkey and pig shed
in the garden, and we're converting.
Tell us about the gin.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some things with gin and Geneva as well.
So for those listening, we're not supposed to say this then, are we?
No, sorry.
Is it a secret?
No.
Well, they're
going to have to kill you after this, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is because of filming with Channel 4, I guess.
Well, we're not supposed to say that either.
Okay.
No, so we're not.
Everybody listening, just ignore everything that he said. So are we allowed to mention gin at all?
Yeah, we can talk about the history of gin, because gin actually is originally Dutch, the juniper berry. And
did
the Dutch
you know
version
that gin
it,
was Dutch?
Yeah, and the original juniper berry thing, which is a lot smoother than the English one, it's a different drink. I mean, I love G&T, it's brilliant, you know, with cardamom and cumin and all the rest of it. But if you go to, for example, in Ghent or Antwerp, you've got Geneva shops selling about 1,000 different sorts of Geneva, like a whiskey thing.
Yeah.
All sorts of flavour, you know, sort of like...
Yeah, you don't mix it.
I've never seen eucalyptus, actually, I have to say.
Australian gin.
Australian Geneva. Copper out of the strine.
It might make you sleepy.
Do you want Foster's with it or what?
But I do encourage anybody who sees a bottle of Geneva, buy it, shove it in your freezer, and then two hours later, have a little shot of it. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Leading me astray again.
Yes. There you go. There you go.
Anyway, yes.
So your plans are to do more. So you're very multitasked because you're cooking and you're doing the garden as well and everything and cleaning
and the bookings and repairs.
Yeah, we do absolutely. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it's nuts at the moment. Before we came over here, we had three meals for 40. Then we turned over the chateau for 35. We've made about 50 beds or whatever it was. And then we came here to do this. And then tomorrow we go back and we've got another 35 coming in. And I've laid the table out because I haven't got time to do it when I get back.
Yeah,
and
arriving 11 o'clock.
Arriving at 11. No, I've got to have dinner ready at 1 o'clock.
Lunch.
Is it? Lunch at 1 o'clock. There's a lady down the road who's coming to help me serve because she's going to be too busy, you know, basking in her post scoff and quaff glory, whatever she's going to be doing. And yeah.
So. Okay, guys. So you've done all of this.
There's a pregnant pause there. Pause.
I was going to ask you the $64 million question.
Yeah.
Are you happy that you've done all this? Do you ever sometimes stop and go, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, no Samaritan's number in France. Yes. Yeah, is your answer. Yeah, sort of. But you just keep your head down and don't look too hard.
But most of the time we're enjoying it.
You're obviously very passionate about it, so I'll kind of ask that a bit tongue-in-cheek. But like anything, it can, you know, there's times when it just gets to you and you just go, why have we done this?
I mean, who buys a chateau?
Exactly.
It's just unbelievable.
I think the hardest thing about it is that you really lose your private life and your free time because you just don't have that anymore.
And you have a son as well.
We have a son and a daughter, and our son still lives with us. He's 10 years old.
Okay.
Our daughter's at university.
Yeah, she's 24.
So what are the schools like for your son?
Yeah, that's also a bit of a difficult question. It's different. Mm. It's more traditional. It's a bit old-fashioned compared to Holland anyway. Course. So I had to get used to it. But I think my son's doing really well there, and he's really well established there, and he's doing
he's
fine.
Happy. I mean, he's got three languages. He's got Dutch, English, and French, which is fluent.
Yes, and he has.
But it makes his spelling all over the place. But he's just started reading. We're reading Wind in the Willows. Mm. And the other day, there was a word called selvage. Have you ever come across that word? It means the embroidery around the edge of a piece of tissue, which I didn't know. It's a,
Toad and Ratty language.
Yeah. It's a Kenneth Graham language. Graham's a fantastic writer. Mm. Absolutely unbelievable. Lots of lists, but he's amazing. Anyway, but selvage, it means that. And Joe explained me that because it's very similar to a French word that he knew, meaning edging.
Right.
You got sauvage and selvage. But I said, I don't know what that is. And he said, I don't know what that word is. I can't tell you. And he said, it means this. And he was right.
Right.
I thought,
okay.
Bloody hell.
So does your son get involved in the day-to-day running at all? Does he?
More and more. I mean, in the beginning, it was really his involvement just involved playing with all the children that came around and showing them his tricks on the trampoline and secret places in the forest.
Yeah, hide and seek takes 5 months.
Yeah. But now he's getting older.
He was four when he went out. And he's 10. He's 10 now. They found him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's changed a bit.
Yeah.
He's grown a bit.
Yeah.
Now, he's very good he shows the guests around. If we're not there, he'll sort of entertain
He's a
stuff,
little manager.
Know. Yeah.
But now that he's getting older, he helps us. Like, if we have big groups, he helps us serve and things like that. And he's really sweet.
Child labour, really. I mean,
Quite right, too. Yeah. Cool. Guys, look, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out about the chateau and also about the not timeshare, how's the best way to do that?
ChateauDelys.com. Just go there.
And Delys is D-E-S.
D-E-S.
D-E-S-L-Y-S. Sorry, I was spelling in French.
D-E-S. D-E-S-L-Y. Chateau Delys.
And how can we watch you on Channel 4?
Well, there's more 4. If you, Margaret, you know how to Google.
Yes, it's catch up on all 4 or more 4.
Yeah.
Or on YouTube, and you just look for Escape to the Chateau DIY. And it's 20 episodes, and we're in the last 5 episodes, 16 to 20, but watch them all, because all the other chateaus are also
really
amazing.
Cool chateaus.
Everyone's got their own story.
Have you made contact with any of the other chateau owners?
Yes. This you got. Yeah. Nicole is lovely. They're both.
I'm sending them the link.
They're only 5 minutes from us. They're great. Right. Or 20 minutes from us. We haven't actually met up yet. We've had communication. Michael, isn't he? Michael Halpin from Chateau Jalens. Lovely guy.
Stephanie Jarvis from Chateau Lalande.
Lots of Brits are buying up.
So basically, there's an opportunity here for the Chateau Club, really.
Paul and I are going to join.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My new husband and your lady.
Absolutely. Well, I'm definitely going to come to the slope off in France without
driving,
any shadow of a doubt. And I'll drive the bus. Yeah. I don't mind.
Yeah. Well, you've got to come, man. I'd love to. Absolutely.
I'm going to come.
Yeah. I think you're going to teach me stuff because you're that sort of guy.
I don't know about that, but I'm certainly going
to
come.
He could teach you to clog dance, probably. You're
me?
You're good at clog dancing.
Ah.
Yeah.
Brilliant shoes, folks, you see. Yeah. Working a fish market.
I have no idea why I would be brilliant at clog dancing, but never mind.
Everyone should own clogs. Clogs are the best outdoor shoes you can
Well,
have.
I used to... There was a time in the 70s where clogs were very popular at the same time as cheesecloth shirts, and I did have a pair of clogs then.
Yeah. I used to go to a disco and wear my clogs, dancing to Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, exactly.
Very old.
But
as
you would. You were seeing the Levellers last week, weren't you?
That's my new husband.
Yeah.
Were they into clogs?
Yeah, they were cloggy people, aren't they?
They were very good.
Cool. Well, do you know, for the moment, Tim and Margaret, thank you so much for joining us on the Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you much success with your ventures with the Chateau and with the Jeets and everything else.
Yeah.
I've just looked up there, and there's 102 new tweets. I don't think I'm going to get round to all of them, but we will try a few of them because we're fast approaching the end of the show. And I've also still got a few emails to read. So I want to tell you about this. The Business Bunker Show is very pleased and proud. We've just formed a partnership with the University of Kent Business School.
Excellent.
That means we're going to be bringing you information and insights from business research undertaken at the university. We'll be forging links with small and medium-sized enterprise. And the university are listing details of various events, networking meetings, and also the annual business summit. Now, for those of you who don't know, at the beginning of this year, 2018, back in January, the University of Kent ran a business summit, and they basically took a look at the world of small and medium-sized businesses in Kent, and they looked at things like Brexit and all the other things that were happening, and did a strategic review. If you want to find out more about that, there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website under KBS. So it's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, and you can link to the full report from that summit. But they're going to be staging the 2019 summit at the beginning of next year, and they've asked me to chair that event, which I'm happy to do, and that's going to be even bigger and better than it was last year. But they've got some free events coming up over the next 3 months, and they're called Business Soundbite events. And the next one is on Wednesday, the 11th of July. And it's called the Curiosity Cost.
Oh, wow. Good
the
name.
The Curiosity Cost.
Yeah.
And I've got to remember this because it's not written down. The keynote speaker is a chap called Adam Papaphilippopoulos. Okay.
Well done.
He must be a little Greek.
He sounded quite English when I spoke to him, but I guess he's got Greek. He's got Greek heritage, I guess. Yeah. And he runs a company called Reluctantly Brave.
Goodness.
Which is brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. What a brilliant name that is. Yeah. And he's going to be talking about the Curiosity Cost, and that's taking place at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate. It's a completely free event, and it's on Wednesday, the 11th of July, in the evening, and you can book it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, and the book is there. And then on the 12th of September, there's another Business Soundbites event, and this is on female leadership in small and large organisations, and that's taking place on the campus of the university in the Sibson Building, which is the business school, in Canterbury. And then on the 21st of November, there's another soundbite event, Man and Machine, the End of an Era. Are robots taking over the workplace? And again, that's taking place on the campus at the Sibson Building. You can find out all about those events by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. And you can also book your free place on any of those business soundbite events.
Sounds really interesting. I love that name. What was it? Reluctantly
Brave.
Excellent.
Is the name of his company.
Very good.
And they're a creative agency and business based in London. Adam Papaphilippopoulos.
I love the way you say that.
I need to tell you about the new Romney Marsh Networking Group and their next events. Their next events, they've got Marsh Networking over Coffee, and it's taking place on the 11th of July at 10 a.m. at the Sinkport Arms. That's 1 the High Street, New Romney. They've also got Marsh Networking over Breakfast, and that's taking place on the 26th of July at 7:45 in the morning. And that's at the Ship in Dymchurch, and it includes a full English breakfast.
Well, what's not to like?
Exactly.
We'll go.
And then there's Marsh After Hours Networking on the 17th of July, which is also my Stu's, my youngest son's birthday. He'll be 23 on the 17th of July.
Stu.
Happy birthday to Stu for then. I don't suppose he'll be celebrating it here, but you can celebrate with him at the Marsh After Hours Networking, also at the Ship in Dymchurch. If you want to find out about any of this stuff, if you email Terry at Botfield, BOTFIELD.net, Terry@Botfield.net, or you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh and you can find out all about it. Have you got a tweet up there that you can read?
Well, I've just heard from Essex Refurb, Julie. She's new. On the Twitter, she's Miss Beanie. Mm. She says she's... I wonder if this is the Essex thing of you and me, Tim. Yeah. Manufacturing seating, furniture, restaurants, bars, clubs and pubs and much more. So hello to you, Miss Beanie. And it's 07 telephone 07 8529 8584, and they're also on Facebook. So that's Essex Refurb at Miss Beanie, Bean and then IE at the end. And hello to you, new listener. And Visit Margate, also hello to you guys. Come to Margate, they say, and visit our amazing place. That's where the Turner Gallery is that we were mentioning earlier with the event that Paul mentioned. Hello to you guys. And who else? Debbie Bell. She's new. Cool, lots of new people, Paul.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Slightly frazzled mother of four. She's in Kent. She's Bell underscore Debbie. Hello to you. And she's talking about some artwork, which is by someone, Danielle Sepulveres.
Oh, top pronunciation.
Yeah, Sepulveres. We're going on a Greek theme here, I believe. Mm-hmm. So hello to all you guys, new listeners.
Fantastic.
Did I ask you who the show sponsor was?
No, you didn't, actually. You missed it. So we need to give them a shout-out. Well remembered. Today's show is sponsored by the lovely folks at Oasis. That's Operational Accounting Systems. And Oasis are a software company that provides software to manage your people and processes from end to end. Some fantastic stuff they've got, actually. Brilliant apps.
And also Bridger Howes, hello to you guys.
Oh, hi, guys.
They're tweeting in as well.
Mm. That'll be Rich and Mark.
Rich and Mark.
Yeah, cool.
I've put out a live video, if anybody wants to see it, of Tim and Marguerite.
I've been holding off on this because I don't know how to tell you about this without getting suspended by Ofcom,
okay.
To be honest. But I'm going to have a go and you'll just have to work out what I'm saying. Why anybody's picked a name like this, I don't know, but there you go, they have. We have a different type of celebration for our first birthday party in July at Dragon Co-working. For those that don't know, Dragon Co-working opened a year ago. It's a co-working space in Chatham. It's absolutely fabulous, run by the brilliant Roland Stanley. And they're going to be celebrating their first birthday, but they're celebrating with a particular event, and along with the normal, I'm shaking my head for those because along with the normal live music, food and drink, we're holding our first ever failure event at Dragon Co-working. It's called the F Up Night. And the full name is what you'd expect it to be. And F Up Nights are a global movement in 70 countries. Obviously, those 70 countries have never heard of Ofcom because we're not allowed to say it on the radio before the watershed.
Our standards have slipped.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, an F Up Night is a global movement in 70 countries around the world that come together to celebrate and measure business failure.
Right.
Okay. The hope is we all learn from the stories and avoid making the same mistakes. And Dragon Co-working holds the license for F Up Nights for Medway. And this will be volume one of an ongoing series of events. Okay. And we have four great speakers: Ash Lawrence, Ben Leach, Bernard Woods, and Ross Cowan. And guess what? F Up Night is taking place on Friday, the 13th of July. It would be really, wouldn't it? In the evening. And you can find out about it and book your ticket, pay for your ticket by following Dragon Co-working on the Twitter.
Should be April the 1st, I think that.
Yeah, I think Friday the 13th is kind of pushing it a bit there. But and that's also in conjunction with celebrating their first anniversary.
I was just going to say, though, that ultimately business is all about setting targets and judging success and failure. And back when I was playing in bands, I had a target that I should never, ever play a perfect gig.
Mm.
And I was a success. Every night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Seriously, failure is an important part of business. You know, everybody's had a failure. If you haven't failed, some of you may be old enough to remember a chap called Tom Peters, who was one of the very first superstar management consultants. He wrote a book called In Search of Excellence, which was published in the early 1980s. And it was the first management book that ever hit the New York bestseller list. And he was in big demand doing stuff. And I was lucky enough to speak on the same platform as him in the late 1980s at the QE2 Centre in Victoria. And we were talking to a bunch of big corporate executives. And there was a lad in the audience from IBM that kept challenging what he was saying. And Peter's rounded on him and said, "Listen, fella, how old are you?" And he said, "I'm 34. He said, "Have you been fired?" And he went, "No." He went, "Well, listen," he said, "if you haven't been fired by the time you're 30, you're just not trying hard enough."
That's true.
You have to push the boat out. To make a difference, absolutely. You have to push the boat out, and you're going to fail. You're going to fail at different things. If you think about it, if you learn to ride a bicycle, you have to fall off, otherwise you can't learn to ride it. Mm. And even if your mum puts stabilisers on, the minute she takes them off, bosh, over you go.
Well, it's like the old saying, you know, try something that scares you every day. Do something that scares you every day. I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Listen, I've got a really important request
Working
here.
Working with you scares me.
Yeah, absolutely. I scare lots of people. some other people are going to have the opportunity to work with me as well, I'm afraid, with this little request here.
Okay.
And this is from Trudy Hartridge of the Young Enterprise Organisation, an organisation which I love and try to help as best I can. And it says, Paul, would it be possible to give us a shout out on the show, please, for volunteers? I'm really struggling to get someone for a programme at the Tower School, Ashford, on Wednesday the 18th of July. And it's a launchpad event. So they're encouraging Tower School to participate in the Young Enterprise scheme. Young Enterprise is where they go into a school and the students form a real company. It's a real company that's really registered at a company's house, and there are things you can and can't do, and they're allocated a business mentor from the business community to help, and they have a year to build a company and operate, and then at the end of it they go into a competition which is both local, so there's a regional competition for the Ashford area in this case, and then Kent, and then South, and then National, and if you get all the way, it's a European event, and the European final takes place in Amsterdam.
Okay. Wow.
Oh.
Okay. I was going to say, they've got a similar thing in got a similar thing in Holland.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the European final is in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Last year in Kent, the winners got all the way to the national final, so... anyway, so they need volunteers to help in the Tower School on Wednesday the 18th of July. There's also, they need volunteers to help with year 9 and 10 students. I lost track of this. My kids were still at school when it was, you know,
sixth
form and fifth form. I don't know what age year 9 and 10 are. I guess they'd be 14, 15.
Yeah, before O-level.
Yeah, which is year 12. No, year 11. No, they're GCSEs. Yeah. Anyway, whatever they do this week. Yeah. Anyway, they're looking for volunteers to work with year 9 and 10, which I think are 14-year-olds, and can meet up to run through the programme beforehand with them. If it's possible, I'm not sure what details you need to know, but if people contact me, I can give them all the details. We're also looking for business board members for Ashford and North East, Kent, that is, Young Enterprise Board, that you meet once a month, helping the students in East Kent to achieve employability and enterprise skills. Listen, if you want to find out anything about Young Enterprise in Kent, if you want to help in any way you can, please email Trudy. It's Trudy Hartridge, and I'll spell her name. It's Trudie dot Hartridge, Hartridge, at y-e.org.uk. Please try and help out. It would be most beneficial for both you and the young people.
Sounds really good.
Fantastic. Well, we've reached the end of another show.
What a show.
I know. What a fantastic show. We've covered all kinds of things from dinosaur dragonflies right the way through to Jeets. I mean, where else do you get such a range of things to think about?
Exactly.
I want to tell you about some things that are coming up. The gorgeous Amanda has a show on Friday, which is the Business Bunker Extra Show, which is a sister show to this. And this Friday, Amanda's co-host is the lovely Gemma Faircloth-Haynes. And their guest is Bonnie Jennings from a company called FruitBowl.com.
Oh.
It's not my fruit bowl.
No,
it's a different fruit bowl.
One.
I own a company called Fruit Bowl Media. So I don't know these guys. So it's FruitBowl.com. So do check them out. Bonnie Jennings. Unless they've snuck in someone that I don't know. And she's the guest on the Business Bunker Extra Show with Amanda and Gemma this Friday, 11 till 12 a.m.
I wonder whether Gemma will sing. She's an amazing singer.
Absolutely, yeah. I just need to tell you now about what's coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his stripy socks. And happy birthday to Craig for yesterday.
Is it?
Yeah, yesterday was his birthday. And then that's followed at 9 o'clock by James LaSalle, current keyboard player with Cockney Rebel. And he has his world tour show. And then, of course, as always on a Tuesday night, we finish up with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So we finish off, as always, with a Club Culture show on... Channel Radio. But that's it for another week on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week. Thank you for joining us, and a huge thank you to my co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin, and our fantastic guests, Simon, Tim and Magrith. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Channel 2 Talk Radio.